All right. We thank you for being here this morning. Beautiful, beautiful day. All right. Bill Gaither homecoming concert, North Charleston, Friday, November 15th. Anybody who wants to go, we can get up a couple of buses if you want to all go together. If not, you can go by yourself and, you know, drive your own car and back. But I'd look into that. Some of us went to Florence and saw them when they were here. We told everybody that Shirley sang with the Gaithers. We didn't tell everybody that 8,000 other people did too. We just let it go that Shirley sang with them. So that was good. Wise family came in here this morning, sitting on the front row. Little Bradley right in the middle of it. He'll clap them dubs now. You can't get away from him. Got him a new chair. He's looking good. Frankie gained 2 pounds. He had lost 11. Don't sound like much to you. That's 25% when you gain 2 back. That's all right. That's good. So we're glad you say, hey, Bradley. Love you. Bless his heart. All right, I got to do the announcements right because my aunt, my wife did this. Be sure. Thank Pam and H. Lee for letting us be here. Of course we do that. Pam's right back there, and thank her. And thank Tim and D-Day for getting here early, putting up the chairs, and everybody who sang and played, people who helped with the tent and the pulpit, and just thank everybody. If you don't know what to thank them for, just turn around and say thank you. Larry and the Tape Ministry. If you don't know, we have tapes that go all over, and they're free. They aren't free to Larry. They're free to you. He devotes his time and talent to doing that, and it reaches a lot of people who normally wouldn't hear what we have to say. Bible study, 7 o'clock, Sleep Motel, Highway 17. It's about a mile and a half on the left towards Wilmington. You need to be there. Where's Charlie Daniels? Charlie Daniels here? Charlie's not here. Charlie needs to be here and there. Told Charlie, I said, Charlie, we having Bible studies. I know all about that. I said, well, let's run a little pop quiz. Tell me about Lazarus. He said, okay, Lazarus was Mary and Martha's brother. I said, that's right. Friend of Jesus. I said, that's right. Got sick. Jesus was out of town, and he died. I said, that's right. That's right. So they went ahead and buried him. I said, that's right. Jesus came back 4 days later. I said, that's right. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. I said, that's exactly right. And Lazarus did. I said, that's pretty good, Charlie. He said, then he saw his shadow and went back in. I said, no. No. That's not it. That's the other story. 7 o'clock Monday, you be there. So it will help you to be there. The envelopes are on the counters for the folks we help. Susie, give her your name to get on your prayer list, and she'll send emails, and those are really helpful. It helps us find out about people, what's going on. Talk to Sylvia Wise, and Bradley finally got here. We don't have to read this part, do we? They shown up this morning. But Bradley got his new chair. He didn't bring it with him, but it's at home. It's a six-wheeler, I mean. And raises him up to eye level, and he can run it himself. They put a special, I guess it's a leather loop on it, so he can put his little nub in there and guide it. And now they're getting him a override, so Sylvia can stop him if he goes crazy and wants to race other people in wheelchairs and stuff, as he will do. Or gets too far away, she can cut off his power and he'll stop, so that's good. The chair cost over $10,000. The people that sent in and wrote the people who didn't want to give him the chair the first time, we thank you, all except for that one letter, and we'd request that you don't write anybody ever again. Well, we got that. Be sure to rewrite the people who got him that chair and thank them again, because that was a nice thing. The fellow who brought it to the house, even had it, little Bradley's name, embroidered in it. So he's ready. And all you owe is $500 for the harness to strap him in. All right, and we'll see if we can't come up with some of that. And so they're making a special device to hook up Bradley's computer. And they're covering that so he won't have to carry it in his lap. He can move it to the side, so that's good. He's in business. Okay, she sends her love and gratitude. We appreciate that. All the way from 4 or 5 feet away. And be sure to thank them for being here. All right. Ann has copies of a church journal she's been working on. It looks like this. So much has happened. I'm just reading. So much has happened. It's hard to keep up with it all. Many of you don't know about them. Is that the things they don't know about? Okay. Please see her after church. That would be you. Didn't want to give them out ahead of time because people like Charlie Daniels would read it during the sermon, it says. You can keep it in a notebook as copies are made on 3-hole paper and it's updated every 3 or 4 months. Easy to keep current, and it's got some pictures and just tells how we started and what's going on. And you are welcome to one. That's just a thank you. There are no notebooks, but you get your own notebook. You got to do something. And where are you going to be all up here giving them out after the service? There's plenty for, you know, every family to have one if you care for one. And that's nice of you, Ann, to do that for everybody. Thank you, honey. All right, now turn this over. I'm learning how to do this thing. So, the bulletin said there's no way to ever come close to repaying all of you for the many, many things you've made possible for my family. How about our family? The church and many of its people. The Lord has made you instrumental in so many miracles. If we could buy each of you a present every day, nothing would be worthy enough to give you. Several months ago, Ann asked me to at least write you a poem so that if I'm ever not here, you'd have something as a memory of what we now have. Look around. This is a miracle in itself. Well, I didn't write it. That's me. Then last week, a good friend asked Ann if I would do it for her. Ann asked her if it'd be okay to make some copies and see Ann after church for one if you would like to have one of those poems. And Ann was almost, you know, she said this would have more impact if you'd go ahead and die. I'm not looking for an Oscar. It's a poem. Jeez. You and Vicky. Got her and Vicky on me about it. So if you want one of those poems, we'll give you one to do what you will with it. And it just says, the time of all will reach an end. God doesn't give a reason. He has a plan that will be met come treachery or treason. The time that he allowed for me to spend with you was worth all wealth that could be amassed beneath the sky of blue. We met to hear the word of God at a shack beside the sea. I doubt that there's ever been a church like ours, you see. We came from every walk of life by a single purpose bound to form a loving body called Church of the Lost and Found. If one Sunday morning I've homeward gone and you'd honor such a man, I would ask you stay as one and please take care of Ann. All right. I'm still not gonna die. I ain't doing it. I'm telling you, they'll make a request of you around here. Thank you for coming. If you're here the first time, I know you enjoy our weather and are shocked at us already. And we just have a nice time and a big family here. Enjoy what we do, and we preach the gospel. Evidently it works, as your little book will show you. We started with four, now we have 400 in the summer. And the Lord keeps blessing us and sending us people like the Wise family that we can be part of them and they can be part of us. And that's a blessing in itself. So if you turn to Matthew 24, 32 through 39, we will read that and then we will expound what we have read. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for a most beautiful day by the sea that you have given us and loaned us the time to be here. We thank you for the people who have come this morning, many on purpose. Some think they're here by accident, but they aren't. It's an appointment with God and something they need to hear, and it's not because of me, but because of you. And we ask, Lord Jesus, if there be one here who doesn't know the contents of this message this morning, that they'll pay particular attention, for this program is about over, and you're about to return, and it's about to be too late for everybody, and they need to know that. We thank you for the Wise family who came this morning, all the way from Winston-Salem to be with us. Thank you for blessing Frankie and little Bradley and Sylvia and Keith and helping them to raise these children and to do such a wonderful job. It would take you to pick that family. I don't know of anybody else who could have done it or would have picked the right one. But we thank you for the blessing they are to us, letting us be a part of them. Thank you for those who came out this morning. May we reverently listen, and may you be with me. And as always, please remove me from this place that you may be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten would be, and all that should be remembered should be. And that the church would be edified, the backslider reclaimed, and that you would save the man nearest hell. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Matthew 24:32 says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer's near." The fig tree in Scripture is always representative of Israel. "So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it's near, even at the doors." And Jesus has just told them some signs to look out for that will show when the kingdom is going to come and be set up. "Verily I say unto you, this generation, the one who sees these signs, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And you've heard preachers preach that the Lord is coming since you were a little child, and you have a tendency to say, "Well, I've heard that for 50 years. It's all right. He's been coming for 2,000. Before that, it was 4,000 when he said he would come to the Jews. Some of them departed, left the faith that he had given them, turned against God, and paid an awful, awful price for that. America and the rest of the world is finding itself on the waiting of the return of Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom, which will surely happen. They have turned from him. I was saddened to hear England has pretty well become an atheistic nation. I never thought I would live long enough to hear that statement made. There are more mosques now than churches in England. There are more mosques in America, there are more Muslims in America than there are Methodists now. Time to wake up. Time to wake up and look around. It's going to happen. And as this in your Bible will be in the red letter edition, these are the words of Jesus. This isn't somebody just passing this along as some things can be looked at. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we have people who know more than him supposedly, know more than the Bible supposedly. Science falsely so-called, we hear every day. And when the Lord Jesus Christ mentions Noah and the flood, you needn't go looking for evidence that it happened. You can rest assured it took place just as it was reported, because he is immutable, he lies not. And he told the truth, and he warned people about his coming to be soon, that is just like in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, the people went entirely insane, much like they are today. Didn't believe anything. Came to a point where God, who had created man, repented of it and said, I wish I'd have never made them. It looks like I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And did. All but eight. You had Noah build the ark. It took 120 years to build. Him and his family did it. And the liberals, in their great ignorance, say, well, eight people couldn't have built. It didn't say eight people built it. It said eight people were in the family, ignoramus. People built on the thing for 120 years. Everybody in town worked on it one time or another. And they all talked about Noah. Don't you think they didn't? That crazy preacher. I was out of work, and you know when you're out of work, you can always go down there and work for the preacher. He's a nut. He'd been building a boat in his driveway for 120 years. We're 100 miles from a river. There's no water, but he is determined to build that boat. And if he wants to pay, I'll help him work. Don't think it didn't happen. Over and over, and fathers and their children helped the old man build that ark and talked about him and what a fool he was. Then the reports became coming in. So my grandson's working down there with Noah, and he said for some reason or another, a bunch of animals are gathering. This never happened before. Said yesterday, two elephants came in there. And then they begin getting the reports of what's happening, and it all comes to pass, and they're sitting there watching it. You see, it had never rained before then. And they didn't know what rain was. Umbrella business was lousy. Never had a rain. So they laughed at old Noah, and they thought he was a fool. And God said, all right, it's built according to my specification. Get in the doorway. He said, what? He said, go sit in the doorway for a week, 7 days. Go give them 7 more days. That was a picture of the tribulation period that's coming upon this earth. The rapture of the church will take place. Those who are saved will be taken out of here. And there'll be a tribulation period of 7 years. And he's going to give them one more chance, even though they've turned against him again. One more chance. And that picture of the 7 days is a picture of those 7 years. God said, I will shut the door to Noah. Because he knew as soon as it starts to rain, they're going to say, what's this? And then it's going to get ankle deep and knee deep, and you'd be surprised when it gets neck deep how people start calling on the name of the Lord. And he knew he'd get neck deep, and friends of Noah and friends of the family and relatives would come. Oh, now we're sorry we laughed at you about this thing. It looks like there's going to be problems. Let us in. And Noah, being a good guy like you are, he'd open that door, let them right in, and ruin the whole program again. God said, you get in, I'll shut the door, and that's going to be it. And he did. And he sealed it. And no man could open it. And I can only imagine the screaming and the horror as that water began to rise, and those people saw that it was endless and saw that they were caught and saw that it was over. I mean, it's too late. It's too late. They're gone. The sad thing is that whole scene is taking place again today. You see, Noah and his family went into the ark and rode above the storm. The ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the water's not coming again, but he has warned us for 2,000 years and keeps putting it off. And God is so good, he puts it off for the very people that are scoffing about it. The Bible says in the last days, scoffers will come. And I meet them all the time saying, well, where's the promise of his coming? Nothing's changed. Well, unless you live in a cave, everything's changed. Well, where is he? Nothing. This isn't going to happen. Okay, go ahead, scoffer, go ahead. But the Lord Jesus isn't taking the church out this morning. He may, but he hasn't taken it out so far this morning for the simple reason, in his kindness, he's trying to give them just a little more time to get in. Those who are at enmity with him, and in Scripture that means those who have a deep-seated hatred for God. He's willing to put it off. That's why they don't let me be God for a day, because I'd push the button and we'd all be gone. But in his kindness, he wants more to be saved than to be spending eternity with Him. So he's decided to wait. And we say, well, I've heard messages like this before and nothing changed much. Changed all the time. We have to keep up with it just a little bit, and I will pass on something for you to do. Depending on the channels and the cables that you get, you find Hal Lindsey's program. I think it comes on Tuesday at 7:30 on TBN. You watch Hal Lindsey, and you watch Jack Van Impe, and they'll fill you up with information on the rapture of the church and the return of Christ. And if your hair ain't white, it'll be that way in a month, because you're going to find out just how late it is. And he's not playing anymore. We're involved in a battle in the Far East and in the Oriental countries, and that may end. I heard a fellow from, he was either from Afghanistan somewhere over there, Saudi Arabia. He said, rethink attacking Iraq. He said, if this thing starts, you're going to open the doors of hell. And he's a Muslim talking. And he was talking on a human level. He had no idea what he was saying. That thing can start a third world war that will literally open the gates of hell. Because once that first nuclear bomb is dropped, nobody can wait on the second one. They're going to have to unload. And when they do, it's going to go around the world. And you may have seen at 9-1-1, and I've said it before, and they're celebrating it on Wednesday again. I fully believe those planes hitting those buildings was the start of World War III. We'll find out if I'm right or wrong. But you don't know the danger that we sit in. Pakistan and India are sitting there, and they're both loaded with nuclear armaments. And they live in a middle 9th century. And they interviewed one guy the other day, a soldier from Pakistan, and said, don't you know they have nuclear weapons? And bless his heart, in his ignorance, said, we can handle that. Excuse me? Just exactly how you gonna handle that? Put it in an ox cart and go real fast? I don't think so. And then we have the war between the Jews and Israel, always going on since Ishmael and Isaac. That's been going on 4,000 years, and it's intense. And they just blew up in Afghanistan 26 more people. We bombed a bunch of camels and mud huts, but the people who did the damage are still out there. They blew up 26 the other day, men, women, and children. But 26 is a kid with a pea shooter compared to what's going to happen if somebody drops a nuclear weapon. And we keep up on this because we believe this way, and we're trying to learn and get more people in before it's too late. And America, with all its technology and with all its news sources and CNN and ABC and all the rest of them, concentrated on one of the world's major problems just last week, ignoring all of this. We had a baseball strike. I mean, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and we got them upset about a baseball strike. We've gone insane. We've gone crazy. The whole world has gone crazy, and my wife says I'm their king. But there's certain signs we know because of Scripture that we see around us, and please understand, a lot of these signs have always been with us. But as Jesus said in Matthew, when these signs become intense, when they're all happening at the same time, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And never before have all these things happened with the intensity they are today at the same time. The signs we see in nature, Matthew 24:7 will tell you, there are going to be famines at the end time. A lot of famines there are today. In 1975, our scientific community studied the problem and said, if something is not done to feed the world, to feed the third world countries, if more corn and more wheat, and if we can't do something about it now, if we can't solve this problem by 1975, it won't be long for more than half the world finds itself famine stricken. And they didn't do anything. And now the famines have started, and you don't see many of them on television anymore, unless it's a big one like we had in Ethiopia. But 10,000 little children will not wake up in the morning. They'll die from hunger. 10,000 tonight. Almost half the world will go with less food than you ate for breakfast. That's all they got for 2 days. You see, we're so wealthy and so well off, we look around and sometimes we don't appreciate what we have. And we don't understand what it is to have your kids look at you and say, I've got to have some food. And you say, there is none. And it doesn't just mean you don't have any. It means there is none. And this is the position the world's getting in. And said earthquakes will take place. And on the earthquake scale, they're happening more rapidly. And more earthquakes around the world happen in a year now than happen in 100 years combined. Happening now. San Francisco sits on the San Andreas Fault. And they know, not maybe, they know that one day it's going into the sea. They know it so well it's become a subject of cartoons and junks and jokes. Do you live closer to the fault than I do? Having no idea what they're talking about, that that thing is going to be condemned and it's going into the sea. The plagues that we see, we sit here today scared that a madman is going to send gases here and diseases here through a missile that we can do nothing about. They have the missiles, they have the planes, they have the technology, and certainly they have the money. So, oh, we'll stop them. Get real. We can't even stop the West Nile virus that the mosquitoes are bringing. Be brought down quicker than those two buildings that you saw fall. I sat in horror watching the news the other night, and they were showing the planes that came and hit those buildings. We have the best radar, the best Air Force, the best pilots. I mean, they're knowledgeable. They can do everything. I have great faith in them if they can find you. But our radar screens were looking out there and the people were coming in here. They didn't even know where those two planes were. They got the final report by a telephone call. Some lady called and told them where they were. With all the technology and training and all the money and all the radar, sonar, and every other R, they had no idea where they were. Our country, that quick. The plagues and signs, there'll be signs in the heavens. We used to laugh, we'd report from Revelation that one day that hailstones that weighed 125 pounds roughly, according to the weights in the scriptures, that one day that 125 pound hailstones would fall during the tribulation period. And the liberals used to laugh at us and how silly we were because they knew hail was just big as a marble. Then it began being reported they'd seen some the size of a golf ball. Last year, some hit in Texas the size of grapefruit. And the telescopes in outer space tell us they're seeing ice formations as large as two-story houses. When they're turned loose to fall, as they melt through the atmosphere, I promise you, it'll be 125-pound hailstones that hit. Don't away, it's coming. Why, you said so? No, Jesus did. There's signs in society that tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that lawlessness will increase. And it's not just the major things. We used to think, well, we're not Chicago and New York and we're not Detroit and we don't have to worry about the lawlessness that these other places do. We don't really have that around there. And then I pick up today the paper, and the guy's held up a bank and shot himself in the palace parking lot yesterday, shot himself dead. Trying to go by Pam's building Friday night and come to that four-way stop, and I'm going to take a left. I see a car coming, and I said, thank you, Jesus. I said, I think I'll just wait on him, see what he does. And thank God I did, because at 30 to 40 miles an hour, he whipped through that stop sign like it wasn't even there, going to where he was going. It'd have broadsided me if I'd turned that car. Happened to Pam. Lawlessness. See, the little things, just reading the signs. My son almost gets in a fight daily. He runs the bus station, and he'll put a sign up, the bus is in Raleigh. It is broken. It won't be here till 4 o'clock. And 100 people will come up and say, where's the bus? He got where he don't talk to anybody. He just says, well, I read the sign, but where's the bus? Then he turns loose. He's a lot like his daddy. Do you see a bus? Do you think I'm hiding the bus? And here they go. Won't read. Ride down any street today at New Harrelson Boulevard. I take it, and it's a nice drive through the middle of town. 45 miles an hour. Signs everywhere. Try to go 45. They'll blow you into the curb. I mean, this is downtown. You get on the interstate and try to abide by the speed law, you'll get killed. You'll get hit by behind by a little old lady driving a Sunday school bus. I mean, they'll pass you so fast. I've driven all my life. I've driven 2 million miles. And I'm scared to drive on the interstate. I actually have fear when I go out there. I mean, I got little old ladies passing me doing their hair on a cell phone at the speed that won the Darlington 500 in 1955. Lawlessness. Now that passes on down, you see, to I don't have to abide by anything. Bill Riley had a couple of kids, school teachers on, fourth and fifth grade teachers. That's this high and this high, isn't it, little kids? And she said, what's the main problem? She said, total rebellion in the classroom. Can't control them. Won't mind, won't sit down, won't be quiet, won't do their work, and they won't quit calling the little girls hoes and bitches. Fourth and fifth grade. It wouldn't have been the school teacher that stopped me from doing that. I'd have prayed I could have gone home with her. What's happened? Complete lawlessness. There's nothing. They show the games the kids play, and all of them are either cutting or knocking somebody's head off. Blood going everywhere. And the psychologists sit and say, well, that they know that's fun, and they know that's just a game. Excuse me, I just saw two kids be sentenced for life that beat their daddy to death with a ball bat while he was sleeping. Pardon me? Excuse me? If it has no effect, what comes over the television, then why does Pepsi-Cola spend $1.5 million for a 30-second commercial at the Super Bowl and do it 5 or 6 times? If it has no effect, they're a little foolish with their money. We got away from the church and going to the pastor and looking to the Bible for our family information. Now we go to the psychiatrist. Bless their heart. All it did right was get a couch. It ended there. If you do not have a mental disease, they'll give you one and make up a cure for it. I promise you. There used to be 6 mental diseases. 6. Then it went to 100. Now there are 3,000. Well, he's scared of guys with a mustache. $400, please. Lord have mercy. It's sick. But lawlessness is everywhere. Violence is everywhere. Have you watched MTV lately? I don't encourage it, but just for 10 minutes tonight, won't you have a look at? Show what you're teaching your kids. Immorality is rampant. Have you seen Wild On? We won't ask for a show of hands. When the college kids go to different places, the Bahamas, and they Wild On Bermuda, Wild On here, Wild On there. We used to slip under canvas tents at the carnival outside of town to see that kind of stuff going on. Now it's at spring break and everybody's in on it. I mean, I've been around a block a time or two. I've been on this beach for 50 years, seen everything you can see twice. And it shocks me. And then the two biggest selling magazines in our country are Hustler and Playboy. Little college girls and others with the clothes off and Hustler, last time I saw it, which was 20 years ago, looked like the gynecological journal. I said, boy, I bet her mother's ashamed of this. On the next page, her mother was with her, telling her how proud she was. I said, Lord, have mercy. I've awakened a prude here. I didn't know I was so backwoods. Then the greed and selfishness that goes on. They send Arafat millions of dollars. We do. England sent him millions of dollars to take care of his poor Palestinians. He put it in the bank in Sweden. $1 billion the man stole. Pray that he gets converted and goes to heaven. Second choice is I hope they send him to hell soon. All over the world. The money we send to Nigeria and those countries trying to help people with no food. People who get it, keep it from themselves. They won't even let you help people anymore. It's insane. Society has gone crazy. Total despair. Suicide is the number two cause of death of teenagers in our country. Taking their own life. Teenagers. They got kids doing it now. No way out. It's pitiful. The negative spiritual signs you'll see around the world. False Christ everywhere. People claiming there to be Jesus. There are over 600 people now we know of claiming to be Jesus Christ. He's returned. Moon was. What's his name? The Korean Sing Moon Moon Moon. Said, how do they name kids over there? Sam said they drop cookware. Ping pong chang tong. Okay. I didn't know that. They get up a group and they claim to be Jesus. Over here, we're still in the Bible Belt. You'll see bumper stickers over here that says, honk if you love Jesus. You've seen one of those. California, they say, honk if you are Jesus. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. Prophets coming up. There are no prophets today. In a manner of speaking, I'm a prophet. You speak forth is what the word means. But prophets as in the Bible, as in Isaiah and Elijah and Hezekiah and Ezekiel and the real prophets foretelling the future, there aren't any of them today. I see them all the time announced on television. And today we have prophet so-and-so. I saw prophetess the other day. Lady jumped up. Introduce them as that. This is Bishop so-and-so. Bishop of what? He got him one church like this. A group of people come to hear him. All of a sudden he appointed himself a bishop. Of what? Cults abound. They knock on my door. Once. I'm sure they knock on yours. And different ones abound. Apostasy in the church. Apostasy is going away from the fundamentals of the faith, by the way. Departing from the old, well-held truths of the Bible. Apostasy in the church. Somebody sent me an email just yesterday, said the Presbyterian Church of America, PCA. That's not the fundamental Bible-believing ones. It's the liberal branch of the Presbyterian Church nationwide. has voted to go ahead and teach evolution in the schools and do away with any idea that there's creation, which does away with any idea that there's a Lord God Almighty. If you're in one of those churches, tender your resignation as soon as possible and get out of there. Apostasy, falling away. Heresy in the church. A pedophile got those two little kids to kill their daddy, or he killed them. They haven't really figured it out yet. They got the kids guilty, but what you going to do with the testimony from two children? Anyhow, the pedophile is the cause of the ruination of those two little boys and the death of their father, and they let him go. They let him go. But see, let me tell you real quick now that it's quiet down because the phone calls have been made. The pedophiles who killed that man and ruined those two kids are not one whit better than the pedophiles in the Catholic Church who wore their robes and supposedly forgave somebody's sin that afternoon after they got out of bed with an altar boy. Who are you kidding? Do you think I fell off an okra truck? The whole thing's a shame and a sham. I'm telling you, folks, it is getting late. The Bible warns of globalism. We're going to have one world economics. See, the rest of the world can't stand you because you worked hard and made a living. And you came over here. I've known people that have come over here on cattle boats and hidden out to come and take a chance on going to jail because they came and slip in the country through Mexico and Canada and came over and did well in this country. And their own people hate them for that. See, the world hates us because God blessed us. And God blessed us so we could go and teach the world to love Him. And we did it to a degree, to a great degree, for a long time. But as England did, we've put the missionaries and the gospel on the back burner. And we got too interested in how good God had blessed us. So we try to see if we can build a bigger church than the Baptist and have softer carpet than the Presbyterians and who had the greatest number at so-called service to hear 3 points in a poem and sing how great they are, thou art, and think they're singing to themselves, and then go home. That's where we are. Globalism in the church. They're trying to get the churches all to go together and all the religions to go together. You watch it. I pray to God Billy Graham's got better sense than to stand there with the Muslims this time. Franklin won't. They're going to come over here and tell you, we're not with those who did that. Listen, friend, I can read. 19 people put together the program to fall those two buildings and murder 3,200 innocent Americans, and 15 of the 19 were Saudi Arabians, and we're still sending them money. You see, there's something wrong with that. How can you thinking ever get to a place where you would put up with that? But they've handcuffed you and I, and as though we're supposed to be able to vote and get it done our way, all we do is get to vote, friend. They're going to do it their way. That was settled a long time ago. Long time ago. And it's going to take this country down. You're going to live in it. You are living in, right now, the demise of the Western Hemisphere. Enjoy it while you can. Because it's going and going fast. I promise you. Persecution of believers is back. Went for years when nobody persecuted Christians. They welcomed the missionary because he taught them how to be sanitary. He brought medical aids. He taught them how to perform the simple operations and pull teeth. He got food in there. He taught them how to read. And he taught them about Jesus. Now you better be careful where you go preaching the gospel. They'll cut your head off. And Saudi Arabia will do it quickly. If you're caught with that Bible, not just teaching it. If you are caught with one, it's a death sentence. China will do the same. Indonesia will do the same. fine Muslim folks that are going to come over and shake our hand and be good neighbors. Get your t-shirts and go home. Don't need that. Well, you aren't very tolerant. You don't want to hear the sermon on tolerance. Jesus said, you either for me or against me. You're either for the spreading of this word or the destruction of it, and you will either go with me or you'll go to hell. Pick one. Well, I was always a good bank robber. Yeah, I know. Demonic activity, Scripture says. It's everywhere. Did you know within just a few dollars in this country, Halloween costumes and paraphernalia will outsell Christmas paraphernalia? Ghosts and goblins and hoodoos and whatever. And look real careful at the churches that put on a Halloween carnival. Have you lost your mind entirely? Have you gone completely crazy and don't know that's straight out of hell? Occult activity. An occult group now can get a church 501(c) like I have. They can get a tax-free ride on the U.S. government to form a cult, worshiping chickens and sacrificing billy goats. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what you can do in this country. See? No hard feelings. Got a lot of people that ride bikes, and they're some of the finest people I know ride bikes. Motorcycle. Big Jim over here. He's my brother. The Hell's Angels have the same status as a church. 501(c). Who was it we sent to Washington? You see, things change when you get in a position where you have an opportunity to get inside information and make millions of dollars. It's easy to forget the guy down at the grocery store who put up your cards in his window and hoped you'd go up and straighten the nation out. It's real easy. Been there, done that. There's some positive spiritual signs, however. The Bible says in the end, there'll be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it is happening. The churches who are preaching the truth are full. The liberal press doesn't know what to do with it. They say, we have condemned them. We have damned them. We've called them the fundamentalists. We've called them the religious right. We've done everything we can. We've tried to associate them with the Muslim extremists. We've done everything we can. But the only churches that are growing are those that preach the fundamental gospel of Jesus Christ nationwide. Rest of them are losing members left and right. Why? People wised up. That's why. Why are you here this morning? Standing in a bar by the seaside. Must have seen our ad in the paper. Well, maybe you caught the TV commercials. No, you here because you either came once or somebody did and brought you who said, look, you ain't going to believe this, but I know where 300 or 400 people meet on Sunday morning and all the preacher will preach is the Bible. Yeah. And we know. Yeah. We know. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good? You look around you and every seat filled is a miracle. Every seat filled is a miracle. Didn't have no chairs. Dynamite said, I got chairs, get some people. Gave us 100. They filled up. He said, I got another 100. They filled up. He said, all right, another 100. They filled up. Brought another 100. We're going to fill them up. We already have some this summer. He said, I got 1,000. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. It's not numbers. It's people seeking the truth. So you might not know why you're here this morning. You seeking the truth. You can be in despair. You can be stressed out. You could have tried philosophy and mathematics and art and, funny hair and tied up clothes and all the sex things and all the pills they ever invented, all that didn't work, and you say, maybe this will. Congratulations, you won. Sorry you didn't get here earlier. Sorry you didn't get here as a child. There's worldwide evangelism going on. Worldwide. TDN, they have some strange folks on there from time to time, but that's all right. I'm a little funny myself. He now goes around the world. That old boy started in a small Bible college, had one girl and one boy's dormitory that slept 8 or 10 people and one chapel, and he started a Bible school years ago. And his radio came to its fruition. He said, we need to get on the radio. And then TV came, and he said, we need to try to get on local TV, and did. And God gave him the method and the means and the mind. Now that boy owns more satellites than anybody in the world. And now the gospel of Jesus Christ can be heard anywhere on planet Earth today, this morning. God bless him. Same with CBN, Pat Robertson. We disagree some on a few things theologically. He's a man of God and loves Jesus. And he'll be in heaven for eternity. Plenty of time for him to find out I was right. That in the last days, there'll be a great understanding of prophecy. You see, preachers used to not turn to the book of Revelation. The standard answer was, well, that's allegoric and it's symbolistic and you just don't want to go there. And so people didn't. They didn't know what he was saying is, I have no idea what it says, and I'm not going to tell you I don't. But the book of Daniel, way back 6,000 years ago, said, look, seal up this portion that I'm going to give you till the end. Nobody's going to understand the back portion of Daniel till the end time. And you study it. Won't make any sense to you. Then all of a sudden you go back and find old Daniel. And he's showing you that there'll be 7 world empires. It's happened. Who he said it would be. When it would said it would be. Where it said it would be. How he said it would be. Every one of them right in line. They've got it as the beast of a man with gold, brass, silver. We'll tell you about it sometime. It's all back here. Some PhD, and God bless him for studying so hard. It's a shame he didn't learn anything. He wrote a book called Daniel in the Lion's Den, criticizing the book of Daniel. Saying there's no way it could be written in that era. There's too much in there that he would have to known in the future. It had to be written at a later date. No man could know that. That's got to be a forgery. No, it's called prophecy. The man that wrote it wasn't Daniel. The man that wrote it was God through Daniel. And he told you what the future would be. And it came out to be exactly like this book said it is. And there's still people today who say, well, I don't know. There's a lot of contradictions in there. And I always say, show me one. Well, I don't know where one would be. I know you don't. A lot of things in there I just don't know are true. And your grades were... As qualified people have put on report cards, you're half an idiot. Why in the world should I care what you think when you're trying to suppress the word of the living God? Get real, son. Get back here. You want to know what's going to be happening? Get back here. You want to know what's going to happen? Get to a preacher that preaches the Bible. You want to know what's going to take place? Watch Hal Lindsey and Jack Van Impe. They don't have a week. Don't worry about somebody healing somebody's frog. Watch somebody that's going to talk about something in the future that's going to influence you. I'm not a bit interested in talking to somebody that wants to argue over what kind of wood the ark was made out of or if it was made at all. That's history. The Bible tells me don't worry about yesterday. Be concerned about today and don't get too far into the tomorrow. You have no surety you're going to be there. You worry about today. People will bring me problems they got, and they aren't really problems. They think they are. And my favorite information to them is, wait a minute. Yesterday ended at 12 last night. There's nothing you can do about past 12 last night. What can we do about this today? And what are we going to look forward to in the future? Don't bother me with what happened. I don't care. But I can't forget. You started it when you said I. If you start it with I, it's your fault. Lay it down. Forgive somebody. Put it away. You do what the Lord said and what the Bible said, and everything will be all right. Simple lesson. Hard to learn. Understanding Bible prophecy is the key to your future. The world political signs. Arabs' hostility towards Israel, somebody says, who doesn't read the Bible.
Well, that goes back to Jacob and Esau.
Amen. Isaac and Ishmael. Amen. 4,000 years it goes back. That's right, but they didn't have nuclear weapons. Now they do. Now that hostility has put us on a precipice that if a war breaks out and the Arabs drop a bomb on Israel, Israel's gone. It's half the size of South Carolina. One bomb will do it. One. Jesus said it ain't going to happen. Well, what's going to prevent that preacher? He's going to come jerk the church out of here and change things. So your hope and my hope lies in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. I read this a lot. I don't even know where it went. That is. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, those who are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. The Greeks used to put on the tombstones when somebody died, no hope. All the philosophy they had, all the culture they had, all the education they had, all the sophistication the Greeks had, they would put on the tombstones, no hope. For they had none. For if we believe, that's a big if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall shout, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, their bodies. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's our comfort. We'll be with him. He said, I'm coming. Watch for these signs. I'm coming. They still debate in theological circles whether that means he's going to rapture the church out or not. Churches within the sound of my voice almost down here don't believe he's coming yet. They'll believe the morning he comes and I'm gone, they still preaching. He's made it cut and dry. You believe in him. You trust in him. You trust in him. You love him. You follow him. And he will take care of you. If you die, you go directly to be with him. The word absent from the body, present with the Lord, in the Greek means simultaneously. No time. You can't even measure the time in between. Time a Christian dies and time he's with God. Can't measure it. We have a lot of intelligent people and thanks for the scientific and technological community. But in fact, we know nothing when it comes to the mind of God. He's got things and said so. Said, I've got things eye has not heard. Ears not heard, eyes not seen. The wonderful thing that God has in store for those who love him. He didn't even bother to write it down. Because if they won't believe this, they sure wouldn't believe that. But he's coming. And he's coming soon. And if that isn't soon enough for you, check your birth report and find out that you're over 60 now, and you either going soon or he's coming soon. It's bad news for you, one way or the other. You don't have long. I had a man tell me the other day, well, I'm just 75. I said, excuse me? Just 75? All you promised is 70. You on borrowed time now, Bubba? Met a lady the other day, 96. Bless her heart. I asked her if she'd met Jesus, and she told me the cult she belonged to, and I almost cried. I said, 96 years. And still, one day they'll, soon, she'll be gone. And had 96 years. Was in a religion, but doesn't know Jesus. And if things don't change, she'll go straight to hell. How about you? Where do you stand today in relation to your salvation in Jesus Christ? If you came today, called the church out, the body of Christ, would you go? If it came from those who had made a commitment to Him and came for those who truly had repented of their sins and led, Lord, save me. I don't know much about this. I just know I'm a sinner by choice. And I need a Savior and I want it to be you. And if you've never said that and He comes, I'm sorry, you'll be left behind. Well, I wasn't sick last week. I've heard that from people I buried the next. So, were you trying to scare me? If hell don't scare hell out of you, I can't. I'm trying to scare you. I'm trying to love you to heaven. Somebody loved me enough to say whatever you've done and with whom and by whom, it doesn't matter, son. Jesus loves you. You put your trust in Him and repent of your sins, and He will save you. It's a work of regeneration of the Holy Spirit of God. He'll change you and change your life and forgive everything you did. It won't be held against you. And I said, that's good news. I said, yeah, that's what they call it. And that's why I stand here today. Got friends I love dearly, met through the years down here, close bond here with family down here. There's people I'd let borrow my car for a week. I don't even know their name. But a lot of those people I know for a fact, they wouldn't know Jesus Christ from a bowl of Jell-O. It's time to change that. That's why we're here. That's why people put up the tent. That's why these boys put up the chairs. That's why Bob builds the pulpit. That's why people buy us speakers. That's why people come and sing. That's why each Lynn and Pam let us use this place. Somebody loves you. And His name is Jesus. And He's loving you through us who know. But we want you to know. So He wrote you a love letter. Please pick it up, read it. And please answer your mail. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have told us there's a way out. No matter how bad it gets, there's a way out for the Christian. They can either take our life physically with their warfare, and if they do that, then we're at home. It doesn't matter. The signs of the times are around us that the kingdom is about to be set up, and the rapture of the church is 7 years before the kingdom. We know it's late in the day. No man knows the date or the hour, but you'd have to be totally ignorant to read the scriptures and not know that the time and the hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse can be heard in the near distance. Lord Jesus, and a crowd of people this big, somebody doesn't know You. In a crowd this large, somebody's not sure that if they died today, they would go to be with You. They just don't know what to do. And some are depressed, and some are out of work, and some are on the verge of a divorce, and some are abused, and some have substance abuse problems, and there's just, you know who's here. I don't have to tell you anything.
but there's freedom in Christ Jesus. The way of the cross leads home, and I've been scared to go in a few places in my life, but I've never been scared to go home. And Lord, for those who need you this morning, please stop by. And please pull on their heart one more time. And as we sing, let them know that today's the day that they need to make a decision to spend eternity with you. Because you can wait too late. Thank you for the day. Thank you for everyone who has come. Thank you for little Bradley and Frankie who have come. Thank you for using Frankie as a testimony to so many people, and little Bradley as encouragement, as when you think you have a bad day, all you got to do is pull out his picture and say, keep at it, son. Help us, Lord, to love you more. Help us to love our friends and family enough to tell them about you. Help them be wise enough to accept the message. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray. And for his sake, amen.